Welcome back, and now let's meet the candidates in Assembly Seat F race. First of all, Andy Clary, your opening statement, sir, and then we'll have some questions from Len Anderson and myself.
Well, thank you, Michael. My name is Andy Clary, and I'm running for the Midtown seat here in the Anchorage Assembly. I'm a lifelong Anchorage resident, small business owner, and homeowner. My background is in the field of technology, and I've served as an IT professional for more than 11 years now. I also currently serve on the Health and Human Services Commission, and a year ago I had the opportunity to work on the IT transition team for the current administration. You know, I've done a lot of door-to-door this campaign, and the voters in Midtown continue to tell me that they're tired of career politicians, and they're looking for somebody with a fresh perspective who can provide new leadership on the Assembly, and that's exactly what I intend to do.
Len Anderson.
Mr. Clary, as you went door-to-door, did the residents feel safe? And if not, how does the Assembly go about making them feel safer and keep within budget, which could even be smaller next year?
True. You know, the response I got door-to-door, there were a few areas where they would definitely like to see some more police response. You know, I can remember walking down one street where the neighbors had noticed that what they perceived as drug deals were going on right outside, and that concerned them. So they called the police, and the response was not minutes later, not just a while later, but hours later. And of course, it was too late by that time. So I definitely think there are improvements that could be made. But as long as the community stays involved and stays on top of that and is in contact with our police and our law enforcement officials, I think we can work together as a community and address some of those issues.
Let's stick with the public safety theme. Are we spending about the right amount or not enough on public safety?
I think we're spending about the right amount. You know, right now we have a new police chief, and we're currently looking at a deployment study that's going to be done. And I'm very interested in seeing what that comes back with. And if it does turn out that we need to hire some more police officers, then that's what we need to do. I mean, public safety is a core service of government.
Len?
The Midtown area has its share of people on the street corners with signs. And, of course, we had the deaths of the homeless. What do you think should be the best course to pursue in that?
Well, I think the Housing First idea definitely has some merit. The current location that's been talked about in the Red Roof Inn area certainly did not have community support, but when you look at the numbers, it's definitely a real issue, a real problem. Each year, we pick up about 25,000 trips that we're making of recycling the same 300 people, essentially, back and forth from the sleep-off centers and other centers, and at a cost of $4 to $6 million a year to the city. And I look at that and see, well, there's a cost. I mean, that's a tremendous cost to the city, a burden. And if you look at the study that came out of Seattle on the Housing First idea, it was able to save them about 50% of the cost of caring for that population group. So if that idea is able to save us some money, then I think it's worth looking at.
Okay. Turning to the economy, what can our local government do to improve the local economy?
Great question. I think as an assembly, as a city government, one of the most important things we can do is just step out of the way and let the private sector do its thing. The free market system works, and too often we find that government is overreaching and overregulating. And like for instance, today at a luncheon, some of us chose to go to a luncheon today, and we got a story from a contractor there that he wants to build a fence. So he's won a bid with the city, with the muni, to build a wooden fence, and yet, in order to build that fence, he has to go to the IBEW and get a letter of assent in order to have the permission to build such this fence on this contract because it's of the contracts and the negotiations that have happened. To me, that's a process that's just stifled competition, and it doesn't allow the private sector to work as efficiently as it could, and it's costing the city money.
Well, as long as you mentioned contracting, this is another matter because it wouldn't involve the future Title 21, but some builders and organizers of the organizations like Building Owners and Managers Association, property managers, have said recently that they've come out after years of work on the Title 20, wait a minute, it's going too fast. Should it be slowed down, stopped, began again? What?
That's a good question. Title 21 has been an ongoing process now for 8 years or so. It's not perfect, but it's getting there. But there's definitely some work that needs to be done. In its current form, it's not something I could support. And like you said, the BOMA in particular, the building owners, is a group that has come out with some very specific concerns that they have, and I share their concerns. Things, you know, like if you increase the landscaping requirements for a piece of property in Midtown, it's going to reduce the development, or it's going to reduce increase the cost, rather, of developing that land for that property owner, and it's going to reduce the amount of land that they have to actually build a building on and whatnot and have parking. Those are just some of the issues that I would like to see addressed. And the bottom line on that is that a true cost analysis must be done before we approve Title 21.
We've heard a lot about the shortage of natural gas. What's your assessment, and what can local government do?
We're at a critical stage, and energy in South Central is at a critical point, and we're looking at just a few years away from real crisis mode as far as energy is concerned. We need to be working with our state legislature. There are several ideas on the drawing board. You've got underground coal gasification. You've got Lake Chacachamna, the Susitna Dam, the Bullet Line. All of those ideas are going to take some time. The short and dirty answer for Anchorage may be to import foreign LNG. That's not the ideal situation. We've got a lot of natural gas right here in this state that I would like to see us work together and come to a solution to tap into that.
Len?
A couple of years ago, the Assembly was found in a court decision to have ignored conflict of interest procedures, and they've changed since then. What would you personally consider a conflict of interest that might involve your involvement in an issue?
That's a good and fair question. My work is in the field of IT, and certainly if there is an IT contract before the Assembly that would benefit the company that I work for here in town, that is certainly something that I would immediately raise the flag and say, hey, declare this is a potential conflict of interest, and would recuse myself from that vote.
What do you think the community learned from the equal rights debate of last summer?
Well, I think we learned that there are very strong opinions on both sides of that issue. It was a trying time for the community, and I think it divided us more than it united us. And I think if that ever comes up again, I think it's something that is going to have to do a lot more groundwork in order, but a lot more groundwork ahead of time before it comes to us.
How do you feel about Mayor Dan Sullivan's decision to keep the municipal budget $10 million below the tax cap?
I think he made the right decision by doing that. Had he taxed to the cap, it would have made our decisions this year that much more difficult. And in a time of fiscal crisis, tough decisions have to be made.
Okay. The fundamental tax in Anchorage is the property tax. Is the assessment process, is it accurate, and is the appeal process fair?
You know, you hear stories, issues. I think for the most part it's fair. There are instances where certainly landowners have not been treated fairly, but we have a system where you can go and contest it. I think it's something that we got to listen to the community and work and see what improvements could be made.
I think I saw in your campaign literature that for the most part you believe or agree with Mayor Sullivan's policies and the things he's done. it was, for the most part, that intrigued me. Was there something you didn't, or that differs you from Mayor Sullivan?
Yeah, I think there is. And specifically in the area of technology, there's a lot of technology initiatives that I haven't seen momentum on that I would like to see. For instance, the state is currently looking for data center space, and the city owns and operates its own data center. It's not fully built out. We have space, rent room there to rent to the state, and we could very easily reach out to them and say, hey, come rent space from us, and it'd be revenue to the city of about a couple million dollars a year at least. So I would like to see some movement on issues like that.
Local government is formally, nominally nonpartisan, yet from time to time the public clearly believes that the legislature, the assembly, is behaving in a partisan manner. How do you explain the discrepancy?
Well, I think the natural tendency of people is to put labels to folks. You want to try to categorize someone to see, well, is that somebody I agree with? Is that somebody I disagree with? What kind of point of view are they coming from? In general, most things that the assembly does are truly nonpartisan. Fixing potholes are nonpartisan. Plowing the streets are nonpartisan. There are always going to be several or a few contentious issues that would divide the group. But in the end, I'd like to see where we can work together as a body.
How will you vote on the four propositions?
The bond ones. I will be a yes vote on the roads. Roads are important, and there's some important ones for our district. You've got 88th and 72nd being resurfaced, and then there's a critical area of Lake Otis between Northern Lights and DeBar that's got a high traffic accident rate, and that's going to be addressed. The two fire bonds I support. I believe that the Sand Lake ambulance will not only benefit the Sand Lake area, but benefit all of Anchorage, because ambulances from other parts of town will not be called out as often. And then the fourth one, the public transit, I'm going to be a no vote on that. And my reasoning is that there's part of that bond is bonding for IT equipment and technology, computers. And in my opinion, that's not something that should be bonded for. That should be paid outright.
Once again, I'm Michael Carey. I'm here with Lynn Anderson, the candidates for Assembly Seat F. We've been chatting with Andy Clary. And one more question before we go. What are your views on the Kinnickarm Bridge?
I think the Kinnickarm Bridge is a great economic opportunity for our town. We've run out of developable land here in Anchorage, and it's caused the cost of housing to rise dramatically. And something like that definitely needs to be looked at, and as soon as October, we're going to have a record of decision from the feds, and then a financing package shortly thereafter, and then we'll truly know whether or not it's fiscally viable. And at that point, we can make the decision to go or no go.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to Dick Traney, who is also running for Assembly Seat F. Your opening statement of 1 minute, sir, and then we'll ask you some questions.
Thank you. No problem. Glad to be here. My wife and I came up here in 1971, and we came up with the military, as a lot of us did. And we've lived here ever since. We raised 8 children in Anchorage. We now have 13 grandchildren who live here. Got involved in local politics, community council president for 10 years. And then I ran for the assembly in 91 and served until 95, then came back on the assembly in 2001 and served to 2008. Now I'm running again for it because there's things we need to finish in this town. Things I started the last time that a previous assembly decided they wanted to reverse it. And I intend to change that when I'm back on the Anchorage Assembly.
Len, let me
provide some leadership to this Anchorage Assembly.
Why don't you give us some of the specifics of what you're talking about right there?
I am, for example. I got rid of it the last time. There's no justification for it. It serves no purpose in this town. Got rid of it. And then found the new assembly didn't agree with me, so they brought it back. It needs to be gone. As soon as we meet the state and federal requirements, we can get rid of it. It does not serve a purpose, except to reach into your pocket every couple of years to get money out. We don't need to have that.
Mr. Traney, how do you feel about the title 21 and the recent criticism that's
well, since I appointed
come
the two
out
members,
the open, I should say.
Since I appointed both Debbie Osander and Dan Coffey, the two members we've got on Title 21, I think it needs to be finished. And that's a matter of going ahead and accepting all the amendments that are there now, and then giving it to the current administration to let them go through it, to work out the problems, because there are problems in it, and then bring it back to Planning and Zoning Commission and bring it on to the Assembly. To throw it out of hand is ridiculous when we spent 8 years on it.
Okay. Moving right along, how will you vote on the bond propositions?
I'm voting for the bond propositions because it's our responsibility to fund projects for future generations. And I've got no problems voting for the bonds. I intend to support them.
How do you feel about Mayor Dan Sullivan's decision to keep the municipal budget below the $10 million below the
tax cap? Well, it's interesting because we had an agreement with the state legislature that if we kept the tax cap where it was supposed to be but not collect all that, if we had an emergency in the town, we could go back up to the tax cap. Because the way the tax cap designed, if you ratchet it down by $10 million, as Mayor Sullivan did, you can never recapture that money, no matter what happens to your town. And the agreement was for municipal revenue sharing that if we'd keep the tax cap at the specific level but not collect up to that, the state would give us revenue sharing. So we're going to see what the state legislature does this year, because their argument was it's a harder sell on us if you don't keep your tax cap high. You don't have to collect it. You just have to have it there. So if there's an emergency, you can do it.
Should the municipality explore alternative revenues?
Well, I'm the one that brought us tobacco tax that raised the $16 million a year. I wrote it. And I passed it within 3 weeks of giving it to the Assembly. The answer to that question is yes, we need to look at it. Here's the problem with the sales tax. We're a military town. And I shop a bit at Elmendorf. I mean, you go to the Elmendorf BX, I don't know if you've been out there. But all the flyers say, no tax here. So you've got to figure out, if you've got a sales tax, what's the leakage to that military base? Because they can sell everything from a box of cereal to a car. So you've got to figure out where's the leakage going to be if you do have a sales tax. And I've seen some towns, because I was on the National League of Cities Board of Directors, where they're primarily sales tax driven. With the economies going where it's at now, they've had significant problems. Take a look at Las Vegas. Take a look at San Francisco. All the cities are experiencing this. Whether you're on property tax or you're on sales tax, you've still got problems to deal with.
What about then, say, a business activity tax, which would be a lesser rate across the...
Well, we may have to take a look at that, but the question is, I've talked to some of the business owners, and they're concerned about what they consider to be proprietary information being released with that type of a tax. They would end up becoming our tax assessors. So it's something worth looking at, but we're going to have a long discussion with the business community before we address that issue.
Speaking of assessments, is the assessment process here in Anchorage
accurate? Since I wrote it, yes, it's equitable. Okay. I scrapped the last one because you had people coming in and filing a complaint against their tax assessment but never showing up. So what we did is we came up with a system that they pay $100 if they want to protest their tax assessment, and then if they're found to be right, they get their money back. I wrote the system. It works well. No complaints over it.
Last time you looked, do you know what percentage of the appeals are upheld or overturned?
I'd have to look at the latest numbers. It's been 2 years since I've been on there.
Thank you.
Glenn? Do you think we should do in trying to help the chronic inebriate homeless to prevent the deaths?
You know, we've tried to deal with that forever. I think what they've got, I was talking to Dan Coffey last night, and he was down there at a meeting in Seattle with the mayor, with their community council, with their police department. And they like this housing first approach. So Dan and I are going to sit down and he's going to let me know how it worked down there to see how we can make it work here. Because I think this may be the answer to our homeless problem. Because we've still got homeless on every intersection in Midtown. I don't know if you go there very much, but Tudor and Lake Otis, we always have gentlemen and ladies staying in the intersection. By the way, they can't stay there. An ordinance was written by Mayor Sullivan when he was on the Assembly that would get rid of panhandlers, and I haven't seen that very successful. It hasn't worked, so we've got to have a different way to deal with the homeless.
How are we doing on police protection? Are we spending about the right amount?
I don't think we're spending enough. We're 30 officers down. It's only going to get worse. You were here during the Fink years, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
We did not have academy after academy. And the problem with an academy is it takes 2 years from the time you put somebody in the academy until they're ready to be out in the street by themselves. If we don't have academies, we're going to get behind the curve. You're constantly going to see the amount of police officers we have shrinking as people are retiring and leaving. We've got to have new police academies coming forward. Needs to be done now.
And who could put them together?
I think the mayor can. I think the assembly can. It's a matter of deciding where you want to spend the funds.
Getting beyond the homeless inebriates, our homeless population in general is increasing, as witnessed by the school district and other groups serving people in Anchorage. Is there anything the assembly can do in that situation, or the municipality, or is that strictly something that has to be dealt through agencies and groups like the Salvation Army and others?
You know, homelessness, interesting you mentioned that. Homelessness is defined a lot of different ways. For example, I have a son and daughter-in-law and two grandkids that live with us now. They're between homes, trying to raise the money to buy another house. And the school district considers those two grandkids to be homeless. They're not homeless. They live with us. And that's responsibility of families, is when you've got a situation in your family, you bring your larger family back in to live with you. That's not homelessness. That's our job as grandparents. You're smiling, Lynn. You do the exact same thing and probably have.
Okay, thank you. How important is the Kinnick Arm Bridge to you, and should we put local public funding into it?
I think the Kinnick Arm Crossing is important, but I want to see who's going to pay the bill, because somebody's going to have to pay for this critter. And right now, all across the United States, everybody wants a project like the Kinnick Arm Crossing. Who's going to pay the bill? I want to know where the money's coming from, and I want to know what the ties are to those dollars. If it comes from the feds, are there ties to it? For example, a few years ago, we had a police program where the federal government, we had 200 officers, they would fund 100% the first year, then ratcheted it down to 75, then down to 50, then down to 25. And oh, by the way, when you looked at the paperwork, you could not get rid of the police officer even if you ran out of money in your city, because there were ties in the money. So I want to see what ties they've got in the federal dollars, if that's where the money's coming from.
Thinking a little.
I want to make sure it's not a $20 toll to get across the bridge.
That's what I was going to ask you. Thank you.
You know, I've heard arguments it'll be $20. Do you remember what happened to Whittier? Whittier had their tunnel expanded so the trains couldn't go in there. You could have cars. And Whittier was really excited. We're going to have a boon in tourism. And then when people found out they were paying $12 to go through the tunnel, it just stopped. So you better figure out what this bridge is going to cost so public knows ahead of time what the bridge is going to incur if you cross it.
Thank you. Lynn?
Anchorage has become increasingly a diverse city. How do you think we're doing in creating a sense of community that accepts differences?
Funny you should mention that. I teach college, and I was going through the U.S. Constitution last night, through the different amendments to the Constitution. When this country first started out, unless you were white, male, and own property, you couldn't vote. So I was going through all the amendments. We have been working on this country since it came into being, trying to make it equitable to everybody. And that's what we try and do with the Anchorage Assembly. We wrote an ordinance back in the 90s that requires them to tell us, based on race, for everybody that belongs to Border Commission. And that report's to come every couple months to the Anchorage Assembly, because we wanted to track who's on these boards of commissions. Do they represent the makeup of Anchorage? And we do the same thing with hiring. There's a requirement that I want to know the type of police officers we have, and if there's a ceiling somewhere that stops minorities from becoming police officers, because we heard the argument. It's hard for a minority native to become a police officer. So we were trying to figure out, okay, where is this glass ceiling at, and how do we break it?
Once again, I'm Michael Carey here with the candidates for Assembly Seat F. I'm here with Lynn Anderson, and right now we're talking to Dick Traney. Mr. Traney, what do you think the community learned from the equal rights debate of last summer?
That it's not going away? For those that think it's going away, civil rights never goes away. It's going to be back again. We need to find a form that works, that addresses the needs. The assembly has a study being done to see what overt discrimination is out there. I want to see what the study gives us and see if there is a more perfect way to deal with this issue, because it's not going to go away. It never does.
Thank you, Lynn.
Do you think the open meetings and public records laws are adequate?
All 55 pages?
No.
It went from 5 pages to 55 when we redid it. And I think it's adequate. I mean, we...
Is it overdone?
No, because the way the assembly works is we can only have 3 of us gather together. And I've been in meetings before where we have a fourth one show up, one of us has to leave. It's designed to protect the public. So you don't have little cliques coming together to try and get legislation they want or to rig what the assembly's doing. So the system works. And I have no problem declaring if I've got a conflict of interest, which I declare every year because my wife's a school teacher. So whenever the school district budget comes up, I always notify the assembly that I may have a potential conflict of interest. Then it's up to the assembly to vote. And you can't just opt yourself out. You have to submit it to the entire assembly for them to vote as to whether you have a conflict of interest or not. It's the same thing Dan Sullivan does because his wife's a school teacher. We copiously do that to make sure that nobody has to wonder, is there something in front of us that, because of what we do, it's going to influence our decision?
Thank you. Now we'll go to our closing statements. First, from Andy Clary. 1 minute, please, sir.
Sure. Look, I'm about as far as you can get from a career politician. I'm just your average guy who goes to work, provides for his family, and pays his taxes. But I've been watching the assembly now for a while, and I've grown increasingly concerned about the rate of growth of the budget and the increased reach into our lives and our pockets. And I understand there are essential city services that we must provide, but I just want to make sure that we're providing those services as efficiently as we possibly can. Anchorage is a great place to live. I feel privileged to live here, and there's no place I'd rather be. As your assemblyman, I will listen and work hard for you. I'm Andy Clary, running for the Midtown seat, and I would appreciate your vote on April 6th.
Thank you, sir. Dick Traney, 1 minute, please.
Thank you. I'm Dick Traney, running for the Anchorage Assembly seat F. I'd appreciate your vote. And quite frankly, I'm not a career politician. If you think being on the assembly, and I think the salary is now $23,500 a career, I suggest you get ready to hold a sign on the street corner. You'll make more money doing that. This is not a career. We do this because we love this town, because we have children live here. We have grandchildren. And quite frankly, we're going to pass off one of these days. And the object of being on the assembly is to make this the best possible town. When we go to wherever we're going, it's left for our children. That's why I serve on the assembly, and I'd appreciate your vote on Tuesday.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more candidates for the Anchorage Assembly in just 1 minute.